Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Shots fired. It's Perillo, so it's probably like an old musket from the Revolutionary War, but whatever, shots fired back. Regardless, I'm just standing up for my co-host here, who was clearly in the crosshairs of that salvo from Mr. Perillo, who I love, by the way. I'm a big Paul Perillo fan, always
have. Is everybody
been.
These days?
I was before he even started.
All I read is
before he started insulting you, I still liked him back then.
Perillo's one of the...
Shots fired. Boop, boop.
Top 10 nicest guys in the Boston sports media.
I didn't say he was a nice guy. I said I liked him. I don't think he's a nice guy. I mean, he's a good.
Is anybody a nice guy?
Not really. But he's fine. And I liked what he said right there. And I don't know what the genesis of that was. I don't know what sparked that comment. Maybe you can speak a little more to that. But that was on PFW, Patriots Football Weekly with Evan Lazar. What was that?
It's called Patriots Unfiltered now.
Oh, it's Patriots Unfiltered. Excuse me. On Patriots Unfiltered.
PFW died years ago.
Okay.
The paper took it all down.
Apologies. I'm stuck in the past. That's why I kept calling scores the fours over and over again.
And that didn't go well. We didn't get an invite back. It's
we
funny.
Did not. They told
but
us.
But screw you. We went to Big Night Live anyway. They loved us. They had great pizza.
Thanks, but no thanks. That was with Evan Lazar right there. Deuce was in there, right? And
yep, Fred
right?
Kirsch.
Everybody was sitting right there in that little set. They flip it out. They take the desk out and put in couches.
I think
so everyone can recline and relax a little bit. I agree, by the way.
1 week, let's ask if they can do the couch setup for us and have, like, you and I on either side and then the guests, well, I was going to say the guests, but Jonathan Jones never comes, so just May can sit in the middle.
Drake May sitting in the middle.
Comfortable. Might
or
be
he
nice
can,
look.
Like, lie down. It'll be like a therapy session, you know?
Yeah,
he can,
sure.
Do it like that.
Let's talk about your receivers. How do they make you feel when they say these things?
Well, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
Oh, it's not that bad.
That is how he talks. But either way,
King of the Hill, Drake May.
The whole thing there about the media not really hammering Mayo in this terrible start that they're off to, there's some truth to that for sure. I mean, there really is. I mean, I don't think that he's going out there and sweating bullets every time he has to go out and face everyone. And there are a lot of young people on the beat right now, and maybe that speaks a little bit more to some of the hiring practices of some of these outlets, which, you know, could be a different conversation for a different time. Everyone's looking to save some money, aren't they? I mean, you know, that's kind of maybe you get what you pay for in some of these instances. But there's still some people on that beat who have been there for a while and know what they're doing and know when to ask questions and when not to. And it does sort of seem like there's not been... And maybe this will change that, this call to action here from Perillo. But it does seem like everyone's kind of taking it in stride. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Now I think some cynical fans and maybe Mayo haters would say, oh, he invited you to a little gathering at Gillette and you guys are being, you know, soft on him or whatever. Because I do, in general.
There's a lot of that, yeah.
It may be some of that. It may be that there is a younger core. Because there has been no, like, back page... you know, Herald headline about, you know, just, you know, one of those like New York Post type cheap shots. But we're in cheap shot land. This has been a debacle where you could be having some fun if you were a true tabloid, take down the coach, take down the team mentality. And most of these writers are young. Most of these writers grew up in a social media era where I have always believed they want likes. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to be trolled. They block trolls. They don't like the negative side of the business. They don't want to have hot takes that are, you know, oh, you're an idiot. You've proven you're a moron. What? They don't want to deal with that. And for a long time on the Patriots beat, obviously that was easy. The Fitzies, the Jerry Thorntons of the world, like,
sure.
You can say everything's awesome because for the most part, everything was awesome.
Yep.
For a long, long time.
Celtics beat writers are seeing that right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, we can have Tom Giles on from NBC Sports Boston, and he can just say good things about the Celtics, and it's not like anything's missing. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all bad. Really bad. And I guess I texted back and forth with Paul a little bit. He laughed because he wasn't totally aware. Because he didn't really know that my avatar on Twitter is literally me and Tom Brady.
Him and Tom Brady.
It's me holding out my phone.
Which is exactly what he said. He was definitely thinking of that.
I definitely think he was thinking of it, too. He could pretend it was not a shot at me, but it felt like a shot at me. I don't care for it, but he's still my guy.
I thought it was great. keep it up, Paul.
But he did say that it started because of some of these wide receiver comments.
Right.
And Evan Lazar, famously of Mutiny fame, said, like, he kind of thought some of these comments had been taken a little bit out of context. And Paul was like, well, did they say them or did they not say them? And he's like, yeah, well, they said it, but that's not what they meant. And Paul's like, well, not really people's job to say what they mean.
Exactly.
It's to print the quote.
Print the quote. This is what they said, and then you let people take it over there. If it's something that is said into a microphone and you want to play the audio, sometimes you can tell different things from the way people say things. But
absolutely,
that's, again, not a writer's job, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we are in a day and age, this has happened to me before, where I read something on a blog, on an aggregator, on a tweet, and it sounds one way. And then I listen to it, I go, oh, that's a little different than it was portrayed.
I pictured it a different way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily fault the aggregators. They're looking to get clicks. Mm-hmm. And I think Paul was talking about that, too. There's a lot of click searching going on in various ways. But not a lot of it is harshly negative, is over the top, off the top rope negative. If anything, there's been kid gloves.
Don't you think that would get more clicks, though?
I don't know.
Off that's the top. That's how they're getting clicks.
Slamming this team, really going after him, really making like that a thing, a part of your coverage. Wouldn't that get more clicks than pretending like this isn't terrible? You know, like that seems like that would be better. That would
I don't
get
know
more.
Because we're exiting an entitled fan base, spoiled pink hat era. I don't know what people necessarily want. It's a great question for us. We're on the radio. We're doing the same thing. What do people want? Do they want harsh criticism? Do they want balance, objectivity? Do they want fun? Do they want light? Like, I think that's a question right here, 2 to 6 on the airwaves of Boston.
Sure.
Not just right here, everywhere in Boston, right? So I don't necessarily know the answer to that. I only know one way to do it. I'm going to screw around. I'm going to take shots. I'm going to be sarcastic. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. If you say something dumb, I can't pretend you didn't say something dumb. If you lose games in an embarrassing fashion, I can't pretend. But I also will tell you, if I see something I kind of like Drake May, mm-hmm, I'm going to give you over the top.
Now you more than kind of like Drake May.
No, I do. It's 100%. It's what Paul used to say.
You're
to
crushing
me.
Hard over there.
Gronk was my binky back then. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved Gronk, and I would make excuses at times for Gronk, and Paul Perillo, when I was doing a lot of podcasts with him, would kind of call me a honk or whatever, and I'm like, well, no one calls me a honk when I'm ripping somebody, when I'm ripping Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. No one calls me a honk then. So I'm going to give you what I see. But I think a lot of people, because I deal with it, you deal with it on Twitter, you get pushback from people, and it's not always fun when they're attacking you personally. Yeah. And, you know how many times I've been told, Dumbo hard, hey, Dumbo strikes again, or a short take from a short guy, mm-hmm, or like. And
these are just from me.
Right. Yeah. But I actually don't really care, because what do I care what a guy on Twitter says? Sometimes when it's a little repetitive and they gang up on you, it feels like bullying. It feels like social media bullying. But I think a lot of these guys don't have the stomach for that. They don't want that. They want likes. Because everybody, oh, look at the ratio. The rate, you got ratioed.
Right.
Well, what does that mean? I don't care about likes.
Ratioed by some like weird account that pays for their following anyway.
Right.
It's like, oh no.
I'm just going to give you my opinion. If people like it, they like it. If they think I'm an idiot, I'm an idiot. Sometimes it changes, by the way. 0-17 went from idiot to, huh, you might not have been all that far off, right? That's transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there is, do you think there is something to the Gerard's nice, he talks to us, he invited us for, the little gathering at Gillette Stadium. Do you think, you're catching more flies with sugar or whatever? Like, do you think that coming in with kid gloves has earned him kid gloves in return?
Yes, I do. And I think that's...
Is that okay?
No, I don't think it is. But I think it's a natural thing that happens when your interview subject is someone that you have to deal with and talk to on a regular basis. You tend to want to just naturally stick up for that person, or especially if they're nice to you and help you pull the curtain back and relay information, which is their entire job down there, which is to do that. Their entire job is to relay information. And the previous regime wasn't very... good about that. They were good about winning football games, and that's all that really matters. And no one really cares about the media and how much access the media has to the team and the coaches and all that stuff. I get that. I have no misgivings about that. I know it's only something that matters to a small group of people who cover the team, and that's it. And no one else really cares about it. But it is the same people that you have to deal with every day. I do think you grow a different set of feelings and opinions on someone that you have to face and talk to like that, and who is good about it, as opposed to someone you never have to talk to and face. It's easy for us to do these things. I don't go in a locker room ever. I've never had to go face anybody. Why would I want to do that? There's no real reason for me to want to do it.
Face the music.
I talk to Alex Cora, and I rip him, and I do these things, and I go and I talk to him, and we have to do an interview, so whatever. But, like, that's kind of the point. Like, you're interviewing someone that's a subject. You're naturally going to want to say, okay, I'll defend this guy a little bit just because I know him, because I interview him and he gives me information. That's a natural thing, but you got to grow out of that. You can't make that the whole focal point of your coverage. It can maybe pop up once or twice here and there. You can't do it every single time.
And I also think you don't necessarily need to take personal pot shots to be critical and to be hard on a guy in a tough situation.
Sure.
Like, I would love if we got a chance to interview Jerod Mayo. Let's just pretend every other week it alternated. They get the quarterback, we get the coach. Mm-hmm. We get the quarterback, they get the coach, that kind of thing. I would love to ask him the question I asked Curran. Is there some regret over philosophically? Did you come in too soft? Did you come in too laissez-faire? Are you questioning your own sort of like we did Alex Cora. When your team fades every year, have you been able to figure out why? And he's like, you start questioning your own processes and the way you're doing things. And I would love, and to me, that's not a cheap shot. That's not a, oh, the bumbling fool linebacker, he can't coach. Like, no one's saying that. But they're saying what you're doing is absolutely not working for this football team and this culture and this organization. Isn't that just like you lost last week 32-16? I'm just stating facts. You lost 32-16. You can do it. If Jerod Mayo can call his team soft because he watches them give up death by 1,000 cuts of run, can't we do the same thing to Jerod Mayo's coaching?
Yeah, 100%.
Aren't we all in the same business?
We are.
Like in the public sort of sports information entertainment business? Because they are entertainment. I always go back to this. They're competing. They are a sport. They are entertainment.
Sure.
And we are supposedly entertainment, right? Some people will push back on that.
I'd say that's debatable, but yeah,
right.
Sure. That the idea is that we're supposed to be entertainment.
We're all in the world of sports entertainment. We're all kind of interacting on the same level in a weird way. We're also worthy of criticism. If you say something stupid or you sing a stupid song, we'll make fun of you for it.
And if that ever happens, then I imagine that it'll probably pop up, but it hasn't happened yet.
And then you'll delete it.
Can't imagine why. I thought about it, but I didn't actually delete that one. You know what sucks? You know what annoyed me about that? Is that I had another musical thing. Remember when I was doing the Cats in the Cradle freestyle?
It was good, actually.
And that was pretty good. That doesn't get posted. Instead, Brian's back there like, ooh, let's do the T.T. Poe post. That's
going
to get everybody ripping on him, which it did, by the way. And I probably deserved. But I did have a better musical moment in that day. It would have been better to post, I think.
I would have.
I'm not in charge of these things.
I'm not either. And if I knew how, I would have done that. I would have done a short part making fun of you of the, whatever the hell it is.
T.T. Poe.
T.T. Poe.
T.T. Poe.
And do like a
don't
how it started.
It,
how it ended.
Exactly. How it started, how it ended.
Because it actually got better.
It got a lot better.
The Cats in the Cradle thing wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So I would have done both and given you sort of fair and balanced coverage.
Well, that
was
been
a little slanted.
That would have been nice.
That was slanted negative.
Yeah.
Take it up with Brian.
I will.
I think he's suspended.
Yeah, I know. He's not here today.
He's not a man. He didn't show up to face the music.
I pulled my Jerry Jones card and said, hey, you know, get that guy out of here for the day. Jamal is in traffic. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Jamal?
I realized something amazing. Robert Kraft really sucks at making team decisions. Ever since he had to make the decision, he had to make the decision of making Brady leave, and then he made the decision of making Bill leave, and then he made the decision of hiring Jerod Mayo, which he really, if he looked at it, he probably should have hired Vrabel. And now he's just like, he's spiraling, trying to save himself. He can't make team decisions.
Yeah, I'd say you can question his decision-making lately. I don't think there's any problem with that. From Brady, picking Bill over Brady, first of all, I think was the big one. I mean, that was obviously a big problem and a big mistake that I think if he could take back, he would. It's what it sounded like in the dynasty at the end there anyway. And now, we went with Bill, and it seemed like in that Super Bowl they held the Rams to 3 points or whatever it was. And
so
we thought, the defense will be fine, and we'll just get a new quarterback, and everything will be great. And that's not the way it worked out, obviously. And people also forget, like, 2019 didn't happen. There was a whole year after that where they got beat in the first round with Tom Brady there and Belichick's defense, and Mike Vrabel beat him at Foxborough. Mm-hmm. And I still remember Logan Ryan high-stepping into the end.
Six.
At the end of that game, and it was awful. It was an awful way for Brady's time in New England to end, by the way,
but
that game. But still, I mean, you know, people forget like that year just never happened.
We're ripping Robert right now, and he's made some bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of along the lines of Belichick, who made a lot of bad decisions near the end, right? Mm-hmm. Like the back end of Belichick's career in New England was loaded with bad decisions.
Yes.
Brady would be one of them.
The beginning of that was Kraft siding with him over Brady.
Right. They paired up to make that bad decision.
Yep.
But then, didn't he make a lot of bad decisions with Mac Jones and
Matt
Patricia and everything that kind of transpired after that? So they both had really good decisions, I feel like, earlier in their career. Because I do buy into, I don't know if you buy into the Robert keeping it together for a while. I buy into that.
Towards the end, I do. Yeah.
I think he so those are good decisions.
I think something would have happened before then if he didn't intervene. Yes,
and
I agree.
Hell, a good decision was hiring Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great decision.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest he's ever made. So he made various decisions along the way there that were great decisions. But he got old. Right? He's old. Is that okay to say? I know people get squirrely.
Is it okay to say that Robert Kraft is
people
old?
People get squirrely when I say people are old, and like Bill's age was a factor in his decline.
Robert Kraft is in his 80s. Yes,
okay.
He's old.
So he's old. So is it weird that maybe he doesn't have his fastball anymore?
No.
Okay. So he's made bad decisions lately, just like his 72-year-old head coach has made bad decisions as they age together. But guess what? When they're in their prime, they both built pretty nice resumes.
Yeah, they certainly did, and they both needed Tom Brady to do it. David is in the car. Go ahead, David.
That is also true.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. So, Andy, you brought up a great point.
Thank you.
And I really applaud that, which is having these coaches and players interviewed by different talk shows, meaning different time slots. I think they get too comfortable, like Gerard gets too comfortable, and I listen every Monday morning. He gets too comfortable with the questions with those guys. They talk about it before they interview him, questions and this and this and that, but then they don't ask. They don't follow through. They are soft. Asking questions. And I think what really would spark up things is by having somebody else ask the questions, the tough questions, the ones that need to be asked, that the fans want to hear. And just to touch base on Robert Kraft, it is okay to say he's old. He is old, and he's made some bad decisions lately. And it's a shame because people like me, I'm 58 years old, and I've been a season holder, and last year I gave it up. Why did I give it up? Because of all the baloney that's been going on the past 5 years. I had enough, and I'm done with it.
All right, thanks for the call, David. I would say that...
I don't believe him. I think he gave it up because they suck.
I think that's probably why. I think that
if the baloney went on and you went 14-3, you would eat the baloney.
Yeah, I know. I think that losing was part of the baloney.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, it sucks.
But it's losing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't agree that everything that's bad now is losing, but if you're a fan... Do you care about all this stuff as much if you go to that stadium and they win 45-3?
No.
Right. So like
barely even care. And you know what? They're winning despite all this. And hey, maybe it's part of what makes them good.
Right.
There's a lot of different ways
people
you spin that.
People would absolutely do features about they're like the idiots, speaking of 2004. They're so good that they overcome their own idiocy or their immaturity, or maybe they don't take things too seriously. That's why they're so good, blah, blah, blah. That absolutely would be the way that would be painted.
I do think they ask tough questions. I think Curtis asked tough questions in the morning. I think all of them do. I mean, Courtney will throw a bomb in there sometimes, too. Wiggy asks long questions, but they're good questions. And same with Hillman. I think they all do. I think they all put his feet to the fire.
I have never thought that they don't ask him questions in the morning. Now, I would like the idea, I don't think anybody would ever agree to it, of like a crossover where we got to swap guests for, you know, once a month or once a season.
They get Drake, we get May. I'd be into that. Yeah,
wouldn't it be kind of cool to give different audiences the coach and the quarterback and break it up?
Just as long as I don't have to get up at 5 a.m.
No, no, no. We would interview Mayo.
They'd come to us, right?
Mayo would come sit with us at 5 o'clock or whatever late in the day on a Monday.
I'm into that.
Well, I'll be up tomorrow with the morning show, so I'll put that in the suggestion box.
Yeah, pitch it to them. Yes.
I bet you they won't like it.
They probably won't.
They should, though.
I mean,
Drake May is a rising star.
Drake May is a good guy to interview, too. He's a good interviewer.
They're actually getting... Wiggy and Shine would love it. Yeah.
They would be getting the guy whose stock is much higher right now.
You're right.
Mayo's stock is...
And Mayo says literally the same thing every week now. Yeah. It's getting to be a little bit Groundhog Day-ish.
Right? Yeah. And not to us. So maybe we ask him a little bit differently. Maybe the chemistry, the dynamic changes, and it's just a little different.
Another idea for Andy's
workshop. May walks in there, Shime's just going to start hyperventilating, so it might not work out for him.
That's true. He's worse than I am.
Be like, Drake May, oh my God, oh my God, there he is. And he just like passes out.
That was almost our Harry Met Sally moment.
Kind of like that. Well, that's what happens. What Shime would do would be, that would be the very sincere reaction. That's what Shime would react like, I think.
Speak
if
clearly.
If you saw him. You know what I meant. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. If you'd like to chime in on anything we've discussed here, from the media to the Patriots to the Bruins and beyond, we'll return and wrap things up with Odds and Ends next.